This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
This is Binge Watch with me, Umar Pagan, Ampike Pagan, Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. Star Trek Discovery, Season 1, Episode 12. Three more episodes to go.
I refuse to admit that.
This one's called Vaulting Ambition and so much has happened. Now, as you know, we are not one to gloat. However,
we are right.
Call that.
Yes.
I think all of the predictions that the three of us have made over these 12 episodes.
I think all might be pushing it a bit far.
I'm claiming all.
Many of what we've said has come through, but I think saying all, there was some wacky stuff in there that I don't think came through.
Nobody's going to check us on that. Nobody's going to count.
All right. Most of our important predictions seem to have come true.
It wasn't the waste of string, all that stuff you put on the wall, tying all those points together with Vok and Mirror Universes and Lorca and eyeballs and Burans and so on and so forth.
And, you know, all of those freeze frame screenshots you took, my friend, paid off. So, where do we start? Let's start with Georgiou.
Well, I mean, it's a summary of what's going on. Brecon Burnham continues as one of Burnham's close confidants, and the person she's come to rely on most has a secret that betrays... Oh, no, wait, that's last week.
No.
It's both weeks. It's Tyler, it's Lorca, it's everybody.
Yeah. It's everybody.
Yeah, everybody's betraying her all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's next? Saru?
Her tether is not done.
The lady with the red hair and the metal thing in her face?
Although she's already eaten her Saru.
Did she pick Saru?
Or no.
I didn't think it looked like Doug Jones.
No,
I don't
it looked like that guy.
I think he's back on the Shenzhou polishing the floor with a toothbrush.
He is. However, you know, try the ganglia. I hear it's a delicacy.
Tasty ganglion.
Oh, that was weird. That weirded me out.
That was a great scene, though. I think Sonequa Martin Green played that really well. Yeah. She genuinely looked like she wanted to bomb.
How did the Emperor not spot that? It's like, something's off about you. I'm fine.
It's not feeling well.
Yeah.
Where do we start? Okay. Let's start with Georgiou.
The ISS, right? Charon?
Charon? Well, yeah. What is that? What is that giant glowing ball? It looks really cool.
Like, it's just the sun of a planet from one of their enemies. They're just like, screw it, we took your sun.
It's now powering my toilet.
Yeah.
I have to say, Michelle Yeoh is really leaning into her performance as Emperor. Man, she plays it with such glee. It was so much better than what she did as Captain in the pilot.
I mean, we liked what she did back then as well.
No, we did, but this one felt, it felt a lot more natural.
Mm. Well, for her to just be chewing on the scenery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, yeah. I think she played this bad Emperor character a lot better than when she's trying to play warmth. Is it just me? No, am I the only one? Right? She looks, yeah, she does this a lot better.
It's a lot easier to be hammy.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
And I have to give credit to the writers once again, because I think what they did really, really well with these Mirror Universe characters is they don't really diverge too much from the originals, right? So you have Georgiou, who still talks about love and honor and leadership.
It's just that she wants lots of stabbing in between.
Correct. There's just one minor difference, which makes these characters... One minor difference.
Yeah, instead of being good, they're horrifically evil.
No, but it makes these characters still relatable, right? Because if not, it's going to be almost comedic in its execution. You know, she doesn't really want to kill Burnham. It feels like she has to because she needs to show how powerful she is.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool because it doesn't force me to suspend any disbelief.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Mirror Universe and parallel universes in general are, just storytelling excuses to give you different versions of the same relationship to throw them into relief. And that's exactly what it's doing here. It's like they talk about, we still have these destinies together, or these relationships cross the parallel universes.
Yeah, and I think that's what you said. Versions is a good way of putting it, right? So they're not an evil caricature of the ones we know.
Exactly.
They're a version of it. It's almost as if the young Philippa Georgiou did not get that lollipop that one time, she'd become this evil murderous thing.
Instead of the sweet and sugary petri dish that is the United Federation of Planets' universe, they're growing up, it's just all acid and bleach, and you have to figure out how to survive.
Yeah, so it's that versions of the character, right? Yeah. And I like that interpretation isn't sort of taken to the nth degree of these guys are villains, right?
Yeah.
So they're just...
Although she does have the standing desk of doom.
Oh,
it just seems to be, I don't know, there's like 12 or 16 poles around her. She just like picked up a shuriken off one and just threw it when the meeting was going bad.
So cool.
That's cool. It's like, are the other ones all other horrifying weapons?
Are there other things you can do?
I mean, that's one hell of a way to end a meeting.
Yeah. It's just giving me ideas. So many bad, long meetings.
But jumping around again, that I like that idea. And I think we mentioned it before about the Federation is an ideal. And it tends to infect the Mirror Universe when people start getting ideas above their station when they hear about this place. It's like, you mean we don't have to be stabby and wear leather all the time?
Yeah.
We can wear soft fabrics and, you know, go to a day spa occasionally?
Yeah.
No, but also with Georgiou pointing out how these are venomous ideals.
Mm.
I mean, yet again, the writers are just channeling whatever they need to in the era of Trump, right?
Yeah.
You know, they just keep bringing it up.
This is all like,
freedom?
Beforehand.
Rights?
This has all been beforehand, so it's just been lucky, I guess, for them?
Yeah, it's really lucky. I mean, some of those lines were kind of hammy, but it seems like it needed to be pointed out. It's like, look at how weak it's all making us.
Mm.
It just felt like something out of a rally.
Can I just ask, right? So, is the interpretation in the room that when Philippa Georgiou sees the emblem that she's got, that's got her name on it, does she go like, ooh, that's another universe of softies that I can take over? Or is she going like, ooh, maybe I can go there and I can not stabby people anymore? What is the read in the room? What do you think is what's going on?
I think the read in the room is that she knows there's a ship full of softies, of planetary hippies out there, and they need to be taken care of because they tend to cause problems, even though by her timeline they haven't. But we can assume there maybe have been crossovers we don't know about.
Isn't that other ship that they're looking for, the Defiant?
Yeah, but the Defiant came over with no crew.
That's true.
And
it's a later
episode. It's an Enterprise episode that brings that over.
Oh, okay.
So they had the data from that, but after Spock and Kirk interact with the Mirror Universe in the original series, they have such an impact that by the time of Deep Space Nine, that we mentioned last week, the Terran Empire has fallen.
Right, got it.
So the seed is there in fans' minds anyway, that this idea of like working together, and you can see that already a little bit with the Resistance and Vok, the Mirror Vok and him like coming together with people because we have to, we're under extinction.
Yeah.
So if they get this idea that, well, we have to because we can make lives better for each other, that could be a dangerous idea. It's the idea of, bad CGI Leah said at the end of Rogue One, it's hope.
But also, playing off the Mirror characters in this episode felt a lot stronger than the previous two. In that, you know, playing off Georgiou with Burnham means that you have characters that you've already kind of fallen in love with. Mm. You know them.
You accept the relationship already.
Yeah, you accept the relationship. You haven't been told that they were close. I mean, who's the guy she kills in the last episode in the elevator two episodes ago?
Oh, just one of the guys. Connor? Was he one of the guys? Was he the guy who got sucked out the window in
the pilot? Yeah, he was like an extra, right? Yeah.
But he went out the door. He went like, he was the one that was horrifyingly sucked out of space.
Yeah, but still, you saw him briefly.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's the reason why Michelle Yeoh didn't exit the series in the first episode. They waited three or four before they killed her off so that they could have
this reaction.
Yeah. But that's what you want, right? And so I think the writers did well to do that because, it was all incredibly emotional.
Yeah.
No, but even in that scene where Burnham kills that unnamed person in the elevator, right? You say that we may not have, as audiences, we may not have the connection to that guy because when he died, he was just an extra. But I think Michael Burnham's sort of reactions to it really pulled it off. Yeah,
totally pulled it off.
Yeah, so then in some ways...
But today was a double act.
Oh, no,
I mean,
today
this
was
episode was a
just,
fantastic double act.
Because you as an audience see it, but at the same time thinking like, there are all these other things before episode one that we haven't seen, right?
Yeah.
The relationship between the two characters.
And we got flashbacks to some of that. When Burnham came on board the Discovery, she was all Vulcan as all hell.
Yeah.
And then she slowly chilled out.
So
Philippa helped her get that bug out of her ass.
Yeah, so, and I think in this particular version, or rather in this particular episode, for me it was when Michelle Yeoh goes, oh, so it's Philippa now.
Yeah.
You used to call me mother. I'm like, oh, no!
We were even closer on this side. We were even better than besties.
Besties on this side. Yeah. And then the Mirror Universe and Star Trek pulls off the darkest shit I've ever seen by saying that Lorca was her father who groomed her to be her lover.
Well, he wasn't her father.
No, but
father, he was a father figure.
Role. Yeah, father figure who kind of groomed her to be a lover.
Yeah,
and he's
Mirror Universe Harvey Weinstein.
Or Mirror Universe Woody Allen.
Crap.
Yeah.
No, I was like...
Yeah,
and even at the beginning, when you look back over my notes, during this episode, when she's giving him the drugs to say, okay, we're going to go over, you're going to get tortured the hell out of you. He's like, I need you, and we need you to get back. And it's always like... Oh, that's so much more creepy now.
Yes.
No,
and
he
also,
says, I need you, and then follows it up with, you need you.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And also, they're making all of these characters completely irredeemable.
Yeah.
That one line made Lorca irredeemable. I love that they're doing it. It's absolutely fantastic because with Ash Tyler and Lorca, I have no idea how they're going to crawl themselves out of this hole.
But it's Discovery. They don't have to.
That's true.
That's the possibilities are endless.
That's true. But it also answers that question we've been having throughout the series. Where
what's the deal with Lorca?
Why does he keep wooing Burnham? Yeah. Now we know why. It's disgusting.
But also, we still don't know what his bloody plan is. I mean,
he
has...
Does he want to take over the Empire?
Yeah, I mean, he has the Discovery. And we find out this episode as well that the ISS Discovery doesn't have a spore drive.
No.
So, which is nice. At least the amount of damage they can limit on the Prime Universe, of damage they can inflict on the Prime Universe is limited, at least by their traveling speed. Yeah, like,
correct.
Thankfully.
Because Stamets is, or Mirror Stamets is actually on the Charon.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So, he was, but he's broken the mycelium network.
It's all rotten to the core now.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, I have to say, I loved Lorca's last line. Her name was Ava, and I liked her, but you know, somebody better came along. Yeah. And then smash, I was like, yes!
So what did you want? The Defiant is still 10 years ahead of it. Well, no, the Defiant exists. They said the Defiant was patrolling somewhere.
Yes.
So it's similar tech. It's not that far out of reach. So it can't be that much of a game changer for him. The ISS Charon must be, you know, built on that kind of tech. It's not like he's going to take out the Empire with that. Is he just hoping to get close to Michelle Yeoh, kill her, and then, you know, you
take over?
You keep what you kill? Is that basically it?
I don't know why you guys are looking at me. I'm the one.
Well, what was it looking for? What the hell could he possibly be up to? He's gone to all this trouble to get back to the Mirror Universe, and his plan is to sit in an agonizer box for 3 weeks?
But this is what I love. There have been so many reveals, and I still have no idea what's going on.
I have a different read on the situation, right? Like, I was completely thrilled when our assumptions were confirmed that Lorca is from the Mirror Universe.
All those amazing flashbacks. Those little flashes of Burnham going,
hang on
a minute.
That was great. But like,
the scene of like, you know, oh, I need you this. Oh, keep away from the light. And that bit where we're like, oh, yes. And by the way, I'm evil.
Just needed that last
one. She forgot that bit.
Yeah, that one she forgot. Yeah.
The sunlight thing was a bit goofy. It's like, oh, they're actually space vampires. Okay.
What? No, for me, I'm surprised they let that out. I was going to say this early, but then we're at episode 12.
Because this is a show that, like,
it just fast
down the rules
everything.
Of three-act structures or...
No, yeah, absolutely.
I can't remember, was it a Movie Bob on YouTube or somebody, some other critic had talked about, like, the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies are basically, like, everything's amped. The visuals are amped. There's lens flares everywhere. The characters are amped. You know, Kirk isn't just brave. He's ridiculously, stupidly brave. Mm. Spock isn't just, you know, a war with his emotions. He's a constant war with his emotions. Every minute he's going to explode and throw the captain across the bridge and, God damn it, Jim! And this is almost the same in TV form now.
Yes.
It's like they distilled Star Trek down, mixed it with speed, and just shoved it straight into your eyeballs. Because these are the revelations that would be like the end of, like, every episode would be the end of a season.
Yeah.
In the next gen.
Yeah. Correct. No, but that's what I mean. Like in the traditional structure, what you would do is you would, you know, Burnham and Lorca would go back, and then, like, and then maybe a couple of episodes later, then only the realization that, oh, Philippa wears sunglasses because she gets the eyes thing, and then she puts it all slowly together, right?
Yeah.
Over 4 or 5 episodes. Nope, 3 minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes, Lorca's evil. There you go, boom.
Move on, right?
Because we don't know where Prime Lorca is. We don't know
dead.
If he's alive or dead, right? Mm. Whether he actually died on the Baran and this guy took over or what.
Or they switch places.
Or they switch places.
So when their powers combine, they become Captain Planet.
Maybe. He may still be in the Mirror Universe somewhere.
Right.
I think the read on the Lorca thing would be quite cool if they kind of resolve it with actual Lorca.
Mm.
So the one thing that's missing from Discovery... It's not really missing, but the one thing I would like to see a real hero moment, and I would like Jason Isaacs to be that hero.
Hmm.
And just for pure fan service, right?
He'll be the one flipping a switch and saying Godspeed to Burnham as he blows up and sends the Discovery back to the Prime Universe.
Exactly, something like that. You know, that's what I'm waiting for because
you can't have that. This is the darkest timeline. There is no heroism. There is only death.
But there needs to be some sort of redemption for one of these characters, especially after, you know, Stamets' little conversation with Hugh, and I'm just like, no, wait. I'm glad you did that. That was perfect because these two characters deserved a proper goodbye.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Executed with opera. Great. But he can't really be gone.
But give us
he's gone.
Something.
Come on, he's gone. Of course he's gone.
He can't be gone.
This is Star Trek. People die. This is the new thing. This is Star Trek. People die now. It's like...
people die.
There's no resetting. There's no putting the toys back in the box for the next writer. It's like Rian Johnson in Star Wars. It's like, no, I'm going to screw everything up for the next person who comes along.
Over to
forget
you,
all
JJ.
That setup. Yeah. Forget it.
Yeah.
It's like they had the writer's board. And it's like, I was going to come in for episode two, but then I came in for episode five. It's like, what? Where are you? What happened?
I like that
this guy's dead. I was going to write out a big scene for her.
I like that Mira Stamets is as grumpy as actual Stamets.
Oh, he's playing a game.
Is he playing a game?
He's playing.
Okay.
He wants to get out.
Okay. Wait.
He's like a rat in a trap.
That was a weird edit.
They were flipped, right?
Were they flipped?
I don't think so. No.
Did you see it, dude? I saw this weird edit because it went from regular Stamets, and then when they woke up, it was Mira Stamets and the Charon first, and then we saw regular Stamets.
Yes.
Yeah, but when he woke up with the Charon, he said he finally did it because he couldn't do it. He'd been in there too long.
No, but I thought that was a cut.
Yeah.
So I thought he was flipped.
My read is that he was flipped.
So evil Stamets is on Disco?
Yeah.
We don't know if he's evil Stamets. Because not everyone in the Mirror Universe is evil.
He's evil.
Evilish.
He's on the Emperor's palace ship. You don't get there unless you've murdered a hell of people to get to.
Although, if we say that, then, because that whole thing about Mirror Stamets having sent Prime Stamets messages... Remember, Prime Stamets' message has always been stay away from the palace.
Mm.
So maybe he's been trying to warn them to get away. So maybe he is good.
Ah, it can't be that easy.
I don't know. I saw it flipped. I thought they flipped.
I thought it was flipped too. Okay. I saw that weird edit and I was like, why did you do that?
It was the fact that he said
he did it because Mira Stamets couldn't get himself out. And when he popped back and he's like, oh, he did it. And then he popped off and he knew where he was going.
He wasn't going, ran.
Where the hell am I?
Yeah, I know. I thought that too. Mm. But I'm with you, Uma, when I saw that there's an edit that just sort of made you go, did they just flip?
But it's probably something along the lines of like, he now has the final piece for his mycelium destroying weapon or whatever the hell he's up to, or they'll use that sun some way with the network.
We'll find out next week. In next week's episode.
In next week's exciting episode of Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
Tyler Vaughk. Also, there's so much happening in this episode. I have to say, I love Saru on bad cop mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of those fears he had about being a good captain seem unfounded. He is kicking ass.
Yeah.
And did Tyler try to rip his skin off? Because that's pretty cool too.
Yeah.
It looked like it, yeah.
He's nuts.
He's crazy.
He's completely crazy.
Can I just say, I watched this morning very early. And when I was putting it on, I was like, okay, I got to get ready for work. So how long is this episode? It's at 37 minutes. And we're talking now, I'm going, wait, the episode was only 37 minutes?
I thought it was longer than that.
No, it was longer than that.
I think you skipped the recap.
I skipped all the recaps and all that. So it's just the episode. So it was only about 40-ish minutes.
I think you had 10 minutes in already because it was
I think it was close to an hour.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that must be about right. Because it felt...
You just missed 10 minutes.
Yeah.
No, I skipped a couple of things.
There's this bit where Jean-Luc Picard popped in. Did you see that bit?
Oh, no, I didn't. You go back and watch that.
Yeah.
Because no, but even then, it was a very dense episode, right?
No, they're all very dense.
But it's
I mean, if they were still making these videos on tape, they'd be super heavy.
No, but they're strong A, B, and C storylines.
Yes.
You know, this is the kind of thing where any one of these A, B, and C in a lesser show with lesser writers, this would be the A plot.
Oh, yeah. No, this is what I was saying about, like, it's mixed with speed or it's amped up. Yeah. It's all A all the time.
It's all A all the time.
It is. Yeah. And even, I mean, yeah, the Tyler Vaughk, I don't even know if that was the B or the C plot in this episode, but performances by Laurel and Saru and Tilly, it was all great.
It's still not clear what they did. Because they were talking about, we took his DNA
and
we reconstructed his personality, but then we did something else and then this thing.
And made him look human.
Yeah. So is it like, it seems like, I mean, I'm not sure what she did at the end there, but he was speaking in Klingon and then she used her mind lasers and then he kept
saying... It looked like a Klingon death ritual?
I don't know. No, because at the end of it, he was saying the prayer, but in English.
Yes.
So
he was finishing the second half of the prayer in English. Yeah.
So it's like the way she talked about it as well was like they were on this kind of mergey thing, mind meldy thingy. So I don't know whether she's actually made Vok and Tyler. It sounds like Tyler, you know, the real person. They put that in there somewhere.
Oh right, yeah.
So it's like when Tuvok and Neelix became one person.
Yeah.
What was it? Tuvix?
I can't remember.
It was awful anyway. But it's like Voyager. That. I think that, like, because she seemed kind of bummed at the end. So I don't think we've gotten Tyler back. But I think she kills what she knew as Vok. Because she seemed kind of bummed, right?
Yeah, she became really, really annoyed at that.
Annoyed, upset, annoyed,
bummed. Yeah.
She had a line with something about the light of Kalis and stuff as well. So yeah. I think whether that was like she knows the Vok she's wants is gone. I think, but it's not. I don't think it's going to be the Tyler that everybody else wants.
That's true.
Some people who've been watching the show have complained of a lack of a directional arc in that I think they weren't sure what's the focus. Is it the Mirror Universe? Is it the Klingon stuff?
It's Breaking Burnham.
Yeah, why is it that?
It is how much can you put a Starfleet officer through before they break?
But I think in the next three episodes we may get a merging of all of these plots.
Oh, yeah. But it'll still come down to either the decision that Burnham has to make and she will have to stand by her Starfleet principles.
Because that was the decision she had to make in the pilot, right?
Yeah.
Where do you stand?
Yeah.
What do you do? What kind of a person are you?
Exactly. And she went against the chain of command there. And this one, I mean, I can't even think of the situation that they're going to put her in because they put her in such dark, bloody places. But she's going to be in a situation where she's going to use everything she's learned from Saru, everything she's learned from Lorca.
Correct.
But all the good things she's learned from Lorca, everything she's learned from the evil Emperor, but like in a good way. She's
going to
try all that together. I think she's
going to go down the path of Federationness.
Obviously.
Yes, because you know it has to be a counter from the pilot, right?
Yeah, because otherwise it would be called Breaking Bad in space.
Yeah, she can't be, as in she can't constantly break the rules. It feels like...
Oh, she's going to end up fighting, her mirror universe self is supposedly dead. She's going to end up fighting herself, right? She'll literally end up fighting herself.
I hope they don't do that, though. I hope
because we already did it with Tyler.
I hope they put her in that impossible situation, but I also hope that they...
As they're all fighting on the bridge of the palace ship, this ship comes out of nowhere, the Kobayashi Maru. And it's like, what do we do?
It's a no-win situation.
Again?
Put Burnham in a no-win situation. No, but you have to go
down
this path.
Week.
You have to go down the path of Federationness because I think that is the kind of fan service you need to end on.
Yeah, but I think it's got to be Federation with a twist.
Yes, but that's the redemption this show needs in the eyes of the fans. I'm happy either way.
Yeah.
I'm happy if they go down the darkest possible timeline because...
Does she throw the Charon at Kronos? Does she just throw it at them? Like they come back into the mirror, into the normal universe. Like, here, have some sun, Klingons. And that's it. Like, the war is over. I have created peace. I am the most Starfleet person ever. I just did it by murdering all the Klingons. But
then
still.
Wouldn't that make her the Emperor as well?
Would it? I don't know.
Bum, bum, bum.
Form the Terran Empire in the Prime Universe.
I like this show.
I do. Yeah. I really like this show.
I like this show.
Not many callbacks this episode, except for the interphasic rift
and
the Defiant. But all of the information was redacted, so we don't necessarily get to hear about Sato or Kirk or Spock.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also nice they talk about they just like the warp engines don't break the warp the parallel universe barriers. It's like don't even go there.
Yeah,
that's
she knows
not
it.
Work. Yeah.
She knows it, and also she knows everything about the Federation. I mean, she's read all the records, right? Yeah. And so it's not too much of a surprise. That she plays dumb to begin with.
Because I think it's the whole, like, oh no, another United Federation planets person. Do I need to ice this person? Is the more out there? And when she's talking about the ship, then she's like, oh, that's a whole ship full of troublemakers. Mm. I have enough with Vok and the Firebat and his Firewolf? Firewolf, whatever. I've got his troublemakers. I've got enough to deal with these guys. I don't need some space hippies running around causing havoc in a ship that can go anywhere at any time.
I was kind of surprised that Michael sort of let that out pretty quickly.
Well, she was going to get murdered, so
she's going to get killed. But... She needed something,
and she did say like, oh, "the it's not you. It's not normal that the Emperor wouldn't normally give you a quick death."
Yeah,
it's like, well, hold on a second.
Wait,
let me just tell you something.
Wait,
maybe this will. Yeah,
I have something in my pocket. It's a Federation badge with your name on it. And of course, she's got to play it out. Like Burnham's got to do the whole, "Yeah, I'll give you the spore drive. Tricked you."
I don't know how that's going to play out.
I don't know. I'm so excited. I have no idea. There's no way she's giving her the spore drive unless she actually steals it. You know, she tries to do a Karn. Ha ha, Genesis, I'm going to blow it up.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I destroyed that. No, but they're leading that way with the Mycelium network is sick. Maybe it's a network would be a problem. Maybe that's why, I mean, unless it's threaded lights throughout the universe, but maybe they do something where it means they can't use it anymore.
It feels like the mycelial network might be the setup or the cliffhanger for season two.
Yeah, that's when they go into Sliders territory.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Then the show might suck.
Yeah, but it could also just be like in the Next Generation, there was like at one point they found out warp engines were accidentally destroying the fabric of the universe. So it's like, from now on, we can only go warp factor 5 unless under emergency conditions. And the beginning of every episode for like a season was warp speed limitations have been lifted for this mission.
It's an emergency condition.
And then they
condition.
Just forgot about it. So that's why maybe the Discovery doesn't have to die, but maybe they're like, we've damaged the mycelium network enough. Let's not use it anymore to power our war machine.
No, they've got to come up with a more convincing explanation than that, because you cannot explain away 200 years worth of Star Trek where they don't mention this at all. I mean, how much...
Everybody nearly dies, maybe. Everybody nearly dies, and all
because
they have is a mad
no
hangover afterwards. Like, what happened?
Yeah. There is no retconning that you can do that can fix that, right?
Yeah.
There's not even a casual mention of a spore drive. Something's got to happen. Something major has to happen.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Everyone's got to die.
Hey, maybe no one talks about nuclear-powered aircraft or cars anymore, because that was just a terrible idea.
No. They do talk about nuclear, though. I think Zefram Cochrane has mentioned
No, I mean
nuclear.
In our world. Let's buy a nuclear-powered car, which are things they talked about in the 50s and 60s.
Got it. Yeah.
It's like, maybe this isn't such a good idea.
Yeah.
And like, so we just, let's not talk about it ever again, and let's just continue putting something else. The other thing that works pretty well, what's it called? Oil. There we go. Let's go with that.
I like this.
Or everybody dies. It's up to you guys. It's your choice. I'm slightly more on the optimistic side that like, just not use this anymore.
I like the everybody dies story.
Yeah.
Everyone dies.
Yeah. That's the best way to keep a secret.
I'm tempted to shine a light on you to see if you're actually Mirror by here.
I'm sorry. It is Mirror by here. It's like, kill everyone if you want to keep a secret.
That's true. It's the best way to keep one. Anyway.
Never tell me a secret.
Ever. I don't know where the show is going, but I'm still incredibly excited. I look forward to it every week without fail. We've got 3 more episodes of Star Trek Discovery, and then we'll see where they might take this, where they might even hint at taking this in season 2. I have no clue.
Still no idea. I mean, it might be interesting if they go the anthology route. I doubt they will, but whether
because
Burnham,
the show's called Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah. Well, it could still. I mean, originally it was pitched as that.
Yes, it was.
So I mean, it could be aboard the what was it, the United Federation's time ship Discovery, you know, and X5 million or something like that, set in the future or something like that.
Or just take it to the ISS Discovery. Yeah. A whole season on the ISS Discovery.
Who we haven't seen. Tilly.
We still haven't seen.
Can I say,
Tilly is just loving her murder wig. It is like the best thing ever. I hope she keeps it. She's wearing it in every scene.
Yeah, well, she never knows when someone's going to call up on the blower and say, sure. Hello, Captain Killy there. And it's like, hang on, let me do my hair.
I think she likes it. Yeah.
Oh, she's going to be way more kick-ass when she gets back to the Prime.
I think so. Yeah. I love Stamets's line of, and I saw Tilly as a captain. I thought I was losing my mind. Yeah. all right. Star Trek Discovery is streaming on Netflix. Just keep watching, folks, and join us in our conversation as well. You can tweet us. I'm on @UmarPagan.
I'm on @McNastyPrime.
I'm @BahiWai.
Also on Facebook, facebook.com/@themoviesmy. We've had a whole bunch of people just sounding off on our Star Trek posts. So join in the conversation and let us know what you think about this show and where you think it's going. We want to hear your predictions as well. This is Binge Watch on At The Movies, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.